Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Today's episode of Read Me Romance is brought to you by the leftover Easter candy you're still eating. Hey, if the chocolate candy is shaped like an egg, does that make it protein? Hey everybody, it's Tessa Bailey. We're here for the second installment of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. And if you heard that first episode, you're fiending for the next installment because that shit was hot. They got right down to it. And I love a hero like that who is just like, I know what I want. It's you. Like, kind of man a few words until they're getting down to it, and then all of a sudden he's got, like, a fucking vocabulary for every part of your body. Yeah, love that. Love Naima Simone. I'm going to read a couple of emails from some lady listeners before we get down to the business, and then I'll play the second installment of Grading Curves, and then when you come back from that, I'm going to tell you something fun about Naima Simone. Like, I'm going to talk to you about her Sin and Ink series and some other good stuff. So, okay, let's dive into some lady listener emails. Got two here, starting now. Hi, ladies. I'm a new listener. I have been binge listening to all of the podcasts from the beginning in the last couple of weeks. I just recently heard your discussion about the TV show Sex Sent Me to the ER on TLC. So I thought I would send a quick email to share my story about how sex got me a visit from a police officer. My husband of 28 years and I often enjoy the rougher side of sex. I love being his dirty girl, and he in turn rocks at being my nasty boy. Those are in quotation marks. This particular morning, I was sucking his 12-inch cock before work. He was standing, and I was down on my knees. I have never been able to down the whole thing, because you're human. So I usually jack the rest of him off while I devour what I can, although I was completely into it. He needed more, so he put his hand over mine and he jacked with me. He was going so fast and hard, he was slamming into my mouth with his fist. And in parentheses, she wrote in all caps, I loved it. I was a little red in the mouth when we finished and maybe a little tender when we kissed afterwards. So a couple of hours later, there's a knock at my office door at work from two campus police officers. I work at a major university where, of course, sexual violence is a very hot topic. It turns out my coworker saw the red marks and a little bruising around my mouth and called the police on behalf of my safety. Needless to say, I had a little bit of explaining to do, and now my husband is no longer looking forward to the office picnic this summer. Did you just write that in to brag? That was my first thought when I saw this email. I was like, she's just bragging. That is so mean. Look, I'm happy for you, girl. Get it. Do your thing with your nasty boy. Bravo. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I'm proud of you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Thanks for sharing. Okay, here is the next one. First of all, I have to tell you guys, though, I look so terrible right now. I wish you guys... I'm so glad Leah and Mel aren't here because I wouldn't even look this bad in front of them. I went to the beach today. It's spring break right now for my daughter. And we went to the beach because it was like pushing 70 degrees. We were like, we can do this. Beach day. I'm sunburned to hell. But like now I have that thing where you're like, you feel cold. Like your skin is sensitized and cold. And so I'm like sunburned, my hair's messed up, I'm all red, and I'm in a robe sitting here. Like, I just look, it's just, and then to top it off, I like lost my glasses, so I'm wearing an old prescription from like the 90s, a pair from the 90s. I just look insanely torn up. Glad nobody can see me. Okay, here's the next email. Hi, lady podcasters. RMR is the first podcast that I've listened to, and I'm hooked. I love your conversations and being able to experience new authors. Yay! So under listener disclosure, here is a story I've been dying to tell someone. My husband thinks I am crazy to send this. This goes along with what you were talking about in this morning's podcast. We were having a Sunday afternoon delight. She's talking about sex at me to the ER, I think, as well. The baby was napping and our big kids were involved in a movie. We use our baby gates as an early detection device. If the kids are heading upstairs, they have to clang them open before they get to our room. It's risky. I'm on all fours on our bed with my husband behind me. We've been trying anal play, and he had gotten me a medium-sized jeweled butt plug for Christmas, and we had been using a lot recently. Well, my ass was so inviting that he just wanted to go for it, so we got out the lube and gave it a whirl. Neither of us were super impressed. We preferred the plug in my ass and him in my pussy. He went to clean up, and I got out the plug and went back to playtime. Well, there's a reason you work your way up in size for anal play and not the other way around. I put the butt plug in and he started to thrust. All of a sudden he goes, uh-oh, and stops. My ass sucked up the plug. scared face emoji. He tried to get it out with his fingers, but just pushed it further up. Oh my God. I would be crying. There was no way I was going to the ER for this, so I had him keep trying while I bared down. Then the baby gate started to jingle. Our 5-year-old burst in and wanted to cuddle. My husband was hiding on the side of our bed, and I had a blanket pulled over me. I was able to get her to go back downstairs. Then I went and sat in the bathroom for about 20 minutes to push the plug out. Not my best Sunday. Thanks, ladies. Keep up the good work. Oh, my dear sweet God. Like, that kills me. For so many reasons. Mostly just because, of course, the kids come up the stairs when your butt plug is stuck, like, 3 inches up your ass. Like, it just... That's just how the universe works. But you know what? Like, that's a sign of a strong marriage right there. Like, you and your husband using teamwork to pull a foreign object out of your rectum. That's... I mean... That's when you know you have a keeper, someone who's willing to do that for you. That's a ride or die, literally. Okay, guys, I'm going to send you into the second installment of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. I'm 2 glasses of wine deep and on top of looking like shit, so bear with me. But you're going to enjoy the heck out of this. I think that we're getting the hero's point of view in this chapter, if we didn't already. So enjoy that. It's lovely. It's amazing. And I'll talk to you on the other side. Bye.
He's the reason I'm 5 seconds and one brush over my clit, away from crying out in orgasm. Minutes later, he shuts off the tattoo machine for good and straightens. It's done. Let me wipe it off and you can take a look. For the next few moments, he cleanses my skin and rubs an ointment on me. Okay, you're ready, he says, shucking his gloves. Carefully, I sit up. Clutching my sweater, keeping my head lowered. I'm shaking now, and there's no way he can't notice it. Maybe because it's been at least a year since I've been with a man. Maybe it's the adrenaline coursing through my veins like a hit of speed. Or maybe it's just the force of this man's too seeing, too beautiful predatory gaze. In this instant, aching, wet and so, so hungry. I'm willing to beg him to take me down, possess me, feast on me. I need to get out of here. Look at me, he softly orders. And though it's the last thing I should do, I acquiesce and am trapped by blue flames. You want me to do something about it? I'm not a hypocrite. So there's no need to pretend I don't know what the it to which he's referring. Do I? No. Yes. God, yes. But I'm a newly hired college professor in a small private college where they made me sign a morality clause for God's sake. I can't just have sex in a tattoo shop with a man I've known all of 3 hours and who's young enough to be my best friend's baby brother. If I had a best friend, semantics. Your choice, Woody, he says, and his use of the nickname isn't an accident. He's reminding me of my decision to own my shit, to take a chance and not give a damn what other people think, to be brave. Yes, I breathe. Yes, what? I want you to do something about it. He rolls closer on the stool, pressing forward so my knees part around his chest. We're almost eye level, and the demand, the lust darkening his gaze steals the breath from my lungs. Do something about what? he insists. I lose a sound in my throat that's half disbelieving chuckle and half groan. You're going to make me say it, aren't you? He doesn't reply but waits, not shifting closer but not backing away from me either. I want you to do something about. I falter, but the thought that the sooner I put it out there, the sooner I'll discover if that mouth is as soft as it looks, purges the words from me. Do something about the orgasm I needed 5 minutes ago before I lose my mind. The skin over his cheekbones tauten, making them appear sharper. He cups my knees and eases them farther apart, opening me wider. His gaze skates over my chest, lingering on the tank, clinging to my breast, and the clear outline of my nipples under the thin material, before lowering to my denim-covered sacks. You're wet, aren't you? He asks, his voice a low rumble with a vein of steel threading through it, demanding my honesty again. Yes, I breathe, giving it to him. There's no use in lying. If he chose to unzip my jeans and slide a finger inside my panties, he could easily discover the truth. I'm drenched for him. Embarrassingly so. You gonna let me find out for myself? He presses, damn near echoing my thoughts. You going to let me pull these jeans off those gorgeous hips and dick tease of an ass? And let me see if that vanilla and whatever the fuck else sin on your skin is thicker, sweeter in your pussy? You gonna let me get my tongue wrapped around that scent, Woody? Shock barrels through me. Shock and lust so hot it incinerates every brain cell that controls motor functions. No one has ever spoken to me like that. Shouldn't I be angry? Offended? Anything other than so damn hot and wet, Haynes might need to make fire retardant and water resistant underwear a thing. My mind is numb, but my body isn't experiencing the existential crisis since my lips part and I utter, yes. He stands and thrusts a hand through my hair, gripping the curls and tugging my head back. With no hesitation, he bows over me and crushes his mouth to mine. For a moment, I'm stunned. But then the feeling of his full lips on mine, his taste invading me, penetrates my senses. And with a groan, I crack, open wider to him, accept the thrust of his tongue, give him back mine. Jesus, he's wild and greedy. He takes my mouth like he owns the title to it. There's no exploration period. He dives between my lips, claiming and conquering, as if he already knows what makes me purr and burn. And damn it, he does. This is our first kiss, but it might as well be our 100th, because he licks and sucks at me in ways I like and didn't know I loved. I obey, and before I can object, he hoists me in the air. On reflex, I wind my legs around his narrow waist, but my heart is thumping against my sternum. Don't get me wrong, I love my shape and I'm very happy with my size 14. I'm not fat, but not by any stretch of the imagination am I skinny or a lightweight. And anxiety dropkicks need out the door as images of him dropping me or blowing out his back run across my mind's eye on an endless movie reel. Easy, Woody. I got you. He assures me, his fingers flexing against my ass. Damn. It's like the man can read my mind. Thinking I can't handle you is an insult to both of us. He crosses the short distance to the tattoo chair and deposits me on the seat. His big body looms over me as he grabs the back of the chair with one hand and firmly cradles my chin with the other. Tilting my head back, he narrows his eyes. The crack earlier about age, getting up on my table, and now this? In case you have any more doubts about how fucking much I want to swan dive into your walking wet dream of a body while I stare into a face and eyes that can make a grown-ass man cry. Here. He releases my chin and grasps my hand and flattens it over the rock hard and, god damn, huge erection imprinting the front of his jeans. My breath expels from my lungs in an audible whoosh, and I'm left a little lightheaded. I glance up his torso, and he's peering down at me, face stamped with a fierce need. And I don't know what the other thing is. And with my fingers curling around his cock as much as his width and his jeans will allow, I don't analyze it. My body and hunger take over, and I'm scrambling at his button and zipper before my mind catches up with a, "What the fuck, woman?" But as soon as I dip my hand inside his black boxer briefs and close it around the thick, hot, pulsing flesh, my mind steps back in surrender with an, "As you were." A sigh escapes me as I drag him free. I can't lie. His dick is beautiful. A smooth, rounded, and ruddy cap already glistening with tiny drops of pre-cum, tops an almost brutish vein stalk. Fisting him, feeling the life pulsing beneath the thin skin, holding all that strength in my hand, I don't fight the impulse to lean forward and lick the head, teasing the slit with the tip of my tongue. "Fuck that," he growls, and hard hands burrow into my hair, yanking my head back. His mouth covers mine in hard possession, and I curl my tongue around his. Suck, let him taste himself on me. Who am I becoming? The question pings off my skull, but I shut it down. In this moment, I don't care. I'm whoever I need to be to get off, and have this man to do it. "You and that mouth are going to do that again. Now that I've had your hot little tongue on my dick, I'm not going to stop until I'm down your throat after a good, hard sucking. But not before I get my mouth on you. I want to eat your tight little pussy so bad, I'm having hunger pains. So, what about it, Woody? You going to come on my face and give it to me?" "Oh, shit," I whisper, staring up at him. A faint smirk lifts a corner of his mouth. "I'll take that as a yes." Covering my mouth once more, he makes short and skilled work of my jeans, and before I can suck in a breath, flip-flops, denim, and lace are puddled on the floor, and he's kneeling in front of me. Pushing my thighs further apart, he circles my ankles and props my feet on the corners of the chair, opening me wide for him. Air brushes over my exposed and soaked sex, and I shiver, fighting the urge to squeeze my legs together and hide myself from his gaze. "Don't even think about it," he warns softly. Again, with the mind reading. He slides a finger through my folds, pausing at the top to circle my clit. My hips recoil and jerk forward. "Shh," he soothes, repeating the caress, but firmer, tighter, dragging a strangled cry from me. "I knew your pussy would be pretty." He slicks a path through my slit, and pleasure slams into me like a ham-sized fist. "And taste so fucking good." His tongue strokes me again, and the tip stabs my clit, making me jump in the chair. "Are you as tight as I imagined?" he murmurs, and the rumble of it vibrates against my flesh. He works a finger inside me, thrusting and pausing, giving me a premonition of what his dick will do to me. "Fuck you, Woody. Tight as a motherfucking fist. You're going to kill me when I get my cock in you, and I'm looking forward to dying." With those ominous but thrilling words, he proceeds to kill me. He eats me as if I'm his first meal after a long fast, and he can't help but gorge on me, swallowing me down, holding my lips open. He licks, sucks, and kisses every part of my sex. No inch of me is left untouched, undiscovered. I can't sit still under his mouth. He's turned me into this wild, sexual creature that willingly props her heels on the arms of the chair to give him greater access. That tunnels her fingers in his hair and grips the strands, pushing him deeper, begging with my hungry mules and cries to take more. "Take me higher." On a growl, He wedges two fingers inside me and I throw my head back against the chair, arching into his touch. But then, I can't not look. Can't not watch a part of him screw me. God, if I burn like this, if he stretches me like this with just his fingers, he's going to render me to ash with his cock. Careful of your tattoo, he says, gazing up my bucking hips and arching torso to my face. His eyes blazing hot, yet dark with lust, search my face. You good? I nod, the movement jerky. Yes, good. He studies me for a moment longer. Then, maybe as a reward, he twists his fingers inside me, massaging me even as he plunges deeper, higher. I whimper, and with an almost cruel smile, he returns to my clenching, greedy sex and sucks on my clit, catapulting me closer to an orgasm that's going to make me resemble a flaming out star. It's messy, wild, and incredibly erotic how he goes at me, and I savor every second of it. Or I would, if I was coherent enough to. But when he hooks his fingers inside me, stroking a place that's been virgin territory until now, I am incapable of thought. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, what? I gasp, lower my feet to the chair cushion again, not certain if I want to push into the caress or back away from the intensity of it. I can feel myself. Can feel it. A big hand clamps down on my hip, holding me in place, and he rubs it again and again. Dean, please, I whine. But that's all I get out before I detonate, flying apart and coming so hard a sliver of fear slides through me. Then I feel nothing but the sharpest, most all-consuming pleasure. I am pleasure. Seconds, minutes, hell, years later, I descend back to Earth in time to see Dean wipe his palm over his face and, oh damn, slick his tongue over his lips. It should be impossible, but my belly and swollen sensitive flesh spasms. That quick desire flickers to life again, when I should be satiated and in a damn orgasm-induced coma. His hands fall to the hem of his shirt, and I straighten in the tattoo chair, enjoying the striptease as his heavily inked abdomen and the lower part of his chest come into view. The bells above the front door jingle, and a woman bellows, "Dean, you back there?" We both freeze, staring at each other. His eyes are hooded while mine are undoubtedly wide with shock and horror. Shit. He yanks his shirt back down. Be right back. He growls before stalking from the cubicle. The absence of his presence flips a switch in me. Scurrying off the chair, I return the tank strap over my shoulder, mindful of my newly tatted skin. Then I locate my jeans, sweater, and flip-flops and jerk them all on, probably looking like a cartoon character on speed. Reality slaps me in the face, barreling into me with the force of a runway train on greased rails. What have I done? What in the hell was I thinking? This isn't me. If whoever this is hadn't interrupted, I would have had sex with a man I barely know on his damn tattoo chair. The low murmur of voices filters back, and in the middle of my scrambling, I can't stop the questions from infiltrating my brain. Who is she? Another artist? A customer? A girlfriend? I squeeze my eyes shut and pinch the bridge of my nose. I have to get out of here. Now! I snatch up my bag and dig into my wallet, snatching the several $100 bills I'd pulled out of my brand new secret bank account just for this. Sorry about that. Dean appears in the doorway of his cubicle again and draws to an abrupt halt. In one swift glance, he takes me in, fully dressed and panicking. I need to go, I stammer, so off kilter that part of me yearns to climb back on that chair and continue what was aborted. And the other part? the part that has been rooted in self-preservation for 30 years, wants nothing more than to race out of here and never look back. Never remember who I'd become in here under a tattoo gun, big elephant hands, and bright blue eyes. Here. I thrust the bills at him, but he doesn't reach for them. Does nothing but continue to stand there, tension rolling off him in great waves, and study me with that unnerving gaze. I slap the money on the end table I was stretched out on 30 minutes ago. And then I do what I told myself I would never do again once I left Westchester and my family behind. I run.
Okay, so wow, right? Are we all wowed? Did you see that coming? You probably saw it coming from the blurb, but you know, it's different when you're actually listening and it's happening in real time. Loving this story so much. I know you guys want more Naima Simone. She accommodated you guys because she knows you guys are largely a Kindle Unlimited crowd. She just put two of her books for the first time on Kindle Unlimited. So you got to go snatch them up like right now. The first one is called Fairy Tales Unleashed. Fairy Tales Unleashed. One that's two different stories, I think, in the same book. It's like a duology, I think they call that. The first one's Beauty and the Beast, and it's like, and then the second one is like a take on, it looks like Cinderella, except it's coming from the angle of the wicked stepsister. So I love that. And the other book that she has on Kindle Unlimited is called Sweet Surrender. And I'm going to read you guys the blurb for that one because it sounds really good. Killing the messenger is frowned upon. Okay, then, what about laying the messenger on the nearest flat surface and making her scream with pleasure? From the moment Hayden Reynolds approaches Griffin Sutherland in the local Florida dive bar, all he can think about is fisting her dark curls and stroking those gorgeous curves. But hell would freeze over before she allowed him to touch her because she's the woman he left behind 5 years earlier. And now she's there to deliver a message, an ultimatum, from his estranged father. Blackmail forces Griffin, black sheep of his powerful Texas family, back home to play nice, but the terms of his bargain say nothing about not satisfying his need for the woman he's never forgotten, never stopped wanting. So you guys go click that in Kindle Unlimited. I'll put the links in the episode description, obviously. There's a big giveaway going on from Naima Simone, giving away an audiobook of Sin and Ink and a signed set of her WAG series, which is amazing. And yeah, there's like tons of good links down in the episode description. And I'll tell you more tomorrow. We'll just be talking about Naima all week, so it's going to be fun. And come back tomorrow for the third installment of Grading Curves, which you can pre-order now in the ebook version. So, okay, I think that's it for me. I'm going to go ice my sunburn. Love you guys. Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me.